Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Audio Mo Day 4. My name is Ivan Fetch, and I'm Ivan Fetch on Twitter, IvanFetch. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about the process my wife and I have gone through to pare down our stuff and get ready for our traveling the U.S. and continuing to work remotely. It can seem like a pretty daunting task when you think about significantly paring down all the stuff that you have, or especially getting rid of most of your stuff. And I'd like to point out that this is definitely a gradual process. It doesn't happen all at once. When someone talks about their process when it's mostly been completed and you're just beginning to digest the possibilities, it can definitely feel crazy and maybe a little bit stressful. The way I started with this was the low-hanging fruit. There's always that hobby that you push into a corner and then into a closet when people come over, and then eventually relegate to an attic or a basement shelf when you have to make room for some new crap that's coming into your life. So those are easy things to get started with, things you know that you're basically ready to get rid of anyway. I would find that as we moved through this process, especially when we got close to selling our house and moving out, that I would clear an area, whether it was a drawer, shelf, or an entire room. And then all of a sudden, I'd walk into that same area and I would see things that I never saw before. Not just because I'm blind, but because I found I was literally looking through the staples, the things that always sit in the corner that you don't really realize are there. The next category is emotional attachments. We've all got family dishes or heirlooms or things that attach us to memories of times and people past. What I found was that things I felt I wanted to definitely keep in January were things that I was much more ready to let go of in March. I think my mind kind of ruminated on it, and what ended up happening was I was able to decouple the thing from the memory. It doesn't mean I don't still care about people, and it doesn't mean I don't still have memories or keepsakes. I ended up keeping small things, the size of a nice polished rock or a money clip. I also have digital things that go a long way to my memories. So I've got recordings of key people in key times in my life, and I've started making more of those recordings as I've gotten older. They're kind of my version of photographs. There's another category called things that may be useful. As I found, I was going through things like screws, tools, computer parts, extra cables. These things all represented a someday possibility. I could use this someday. It could help a friend. Why be wasteful? I've got storage, so I might as well keep stuff. Save it for a rainy day. What this stuff really represented, mostly, was hope, ambition, possibility, interest, and curiosity. For example, I once thought I would make an IRLP node. That's a ham radio that's connected to the internet and uses voice over IP. I had some parts for that, but it wasn't anything I actually ended up finishing. I still have hope and excitement, and I still have possibility for things, but I think I'm more realistic about it. I know what I'm likely to actually sustain. I know what I'm going to act on. I know what I tend to be interested in, so I can be more selective. The next category is logistics. How do you actually get rid of some of this stuff? You can give it away and donate it. That's pretty easy. There's places like Salvation Army or Goodwill or ARC, and sometimes they'll even pick stuff up for you. If you have a bunch of stuff, you can put it in your driveway or put it in your garage and schedule a pickup day, and they'll come and get it. There's another category of getting rid of stuff, which is who wants this obscure thing X? That might be some computer part or some older piece of equipment that you feel like still even has some value, but you just don't know how to get it in the right hands. Sometimes this really still comes down to there is no value. You just kind of want to hang on to this thing, and it's really the reason why you've kept it all these years, still rearing its head. There are some things that are just a little bit harder to get rid of. A mattress in Denver, Colorado isn't something you can get rid of quite as easily, but there are places who will take mattresses, make sure they're clean, and give them to people who are in need of mattresses. You can also consign things, bring them to a consignment shop. If you've got something that you think, you know, I'd like to try to get a little bit of money for this if I could, you can bring it to a consignment place. If you don't end up getting any money, then it's no different than donating it. In fact, the consignment place that we chose to work with will go ahead and do that if something doesn't sell within 90 days. There's also an estate sale. This isn't something that we ended up doing because we frankly didn't have enough stuff to make it worthwhile. 65% or so of customers of the lady that we worked with anyway are people doing things similar to us, not necessarily traveling, but just getting rid of a bunch of stuff. The way the estate sale thing works is they advertise in a bunch of different ways, including special estate sale websites. Then they come to your house because you're not in it anymore and sell out of it. This is especially useful if you're in a good location where it's easy to get a lot of traffic into your place. Then whatever's left, they donate it or consign it, and then they clean your house. As long as they make the minimum money that they need to make, it's a good way to help get your stuff cleaned out. The things that you're going to keep, but you don't necessarily want to, in our case because we're traveling, drag around with us, need to be stored. There's a lot of things that I like, maybe a particular piece of furniture or a chair, and it's not really worth storing those things if you figure you're going to store them for a year, year and a half, or 2 years, versus spending the money to get them new when you're ready to settle down. There are a few things that I have stored. A long cardboard box full of things like a physical money reader before there was the Looktel app in iOS, a stadium seat, which is essentially a little bit of back support if you're sitting on some sort of a bench at a concert, ear protection with built-in microphones. This is for when you're shooting at a range and you want to be able to hear people talking around you, but then when you're firing a gun, the microphone's actually cut off for half a second or so. Some t-shirts that my brother and I had made when we were little kids that are good memories that I want to keep. Next category is what to bring with us. This is still a work in progress. Even though we've moved, we haven't really begun traveling yet. We're also going to have car versus plane travel. We can bring a few things with us in the car that we wouldn't necessarily drag with us flying. As we start to drive, we're going to learn what the must-haves are. There are things that you would expect to be in most places that you'll rent, but they might not necessarily be there. Things like hangers, or a blanket and robe if it's really, really cold weather, or a power strip so you can plug all your crap in next to your bed or by the desk where you work. What do I have now? I've got a week's worth of winter clothes and a week's worth of summer clothes. I'll probably combine those a little bit more because even though we're not going to be going anywhere super cold, we're going to go places that are humid and a little bit cold, which feels a lot colder. I've got some dress clothes, not a suit anymore, but nice slacks and some nice long and short sleeve dress shirts and a sport coat and another pair of shoes to go with that. I've got winter boots and heavier clothes, probably most of which I'll take with us, at least in the car. Keep in mind this is Colorado, U.S. winter, not necessarily the coldest winter. I've got my Mac and my backup hard drive and various cables in a backpack. Some medicine, things that you just want when you're not feeling very well. Some cold medicines and some natural remedies that we tend to use that might not necessarily be super easy to get depending on what state we're in. I've got some paper files that I'm still evaluating if I need to hang on to. I'm going to scan most of this stuff, but some of it I might need to keep for legal documents. We've got a 25-foot HDMI cable that we use sometimes to connect my wife's Mac to whatever television is in the place that we're staying. This is handy for watching Netflix and all that kind of stuff, so we can have a little bit bigger screen. There's things that I order in bulk because I use it pretty regularly, and these are things that I'm still going through. Stuff like wet wipes, which is handy for cleaning up after you've felt around a public bathroom. Shoe inserts that I wear if I'm going to be going to a conference and I'm going to be on my feet for days at a time. Extra deodorant, toothpaste, and that kind of thing. The last thing I'll say about this kind of paring down of possessions and cleaning out of your life is that it's very freeing. Even if you're not going to travel all over and cram your possessions into a car, it feels really good to clean your life out and just get rid of stuff that you know you're not going to use. Even though you're not necessarily seeing this stuff all the time, the stuff that's crammed away in drawers or closets or in basements or up in attics or in garages or in other storage units, knowing that it's not sitting there, not thinking about it occasionally in your life, takes a kind of weight off of your shoulders. I hope this post has been more helpful than it has been irritating, potentially reminding you of all the stuff that you have that you wish you could clean out. If you're thinking about this yourself, just remember that you're still in charge. You can do this at whatever pace you want, in whatever way you want. If you've got any questions or would like more details about any of this stuff I've talked about, please hit me up on Twitter, Ivan Fetch, IvanFetch. And thanks again for listening.